I did so many records with guitar, bass, and drums, I started to burn out on that. And got the chance to do some remixes and, you know, started using samplers, started bringing in hip-hop and techno elements and punk and pop and kind of throwing all that against the wall when I would work with House of Pain or Depeche Mode or Nine Inch Nails and stuff. But I started working with Duke and Steve again, and it was really fun because we were, you know, kind of in a way rewriting the songs.
By 1993, Butch Vig, Steve Marker, and Duke Erickson were already working together as Garbage. Initially, still just a remix team, they were increasingly using the downtime in the studio to work on their own material and thinking of themselves as a band. The name came about while Butch was remixing a Nine Inch Nails track, and a friend came around to add some percussion. On seeing the tape loops Butch had stretching all around the control desk, the friend commented, "This looks like garbage to me. Do you know what you're doing?" "I'm not sure," Butch replied, "but we're gonna turn this garbage into a song at some point." Garbage. The name suggested a trash aesthetic, one that would incorporate all the offcuts and strangeness that other bands discarded on their way to the finished product. Garbage was where everything got mixed up together, from punk to techno, via glam, industrial, goth, pop, avant-garde, hip-hop, dub, funk, soul, and metal. It was almost a parody of Self-Loathing, Generation X grunge bands, and an ironic comment too on how those bands were inevitably sold as disposable pop products in the marketplace. As experienced industry insiders, Butch, Duke, and Steve had no illusions about how the music business worked. They were also cynical enough to realize that if Garbage was going to be successful, they needed someone beside themselves to front it. Someone young, attractive, and preferably female. The trio's initial vision for Garbage was of something way more hardcore and experimental. They wanted to be more extreme than Nine Inch Nails, more rhythmically groovy than the hardest hip-hop, with more guitars than My Bloody Valentine. A seminal British psychedelic band of the late 80s, who almost bankrupted Creation Records during the recording of their second LP, Loveless, My Bloody Valentine were a major influence on early Garbage. Butch wanted to take their layers of treated, woozy guitar and multiply them tenfold, adding further layers of distorted and manipulated sound until you didn't know what you were hearing. However, he soon realized that such experimental ideas don't always work in practice and get in the way when you're actually trying to write a good song. Before Shirley's arrival, Garbage already had five or six songs that they later described as initially pretty pretentious and lyrically very simple, too literal. Although he had a good voice, they didn't want Duke to sing because it would have made them sound too much like Spooner. But both Steve and Butch were uncomfortable with their vocals, burying them in the mix and smothering them with effects. The experimentation was all very well, but more and more, Garbage realized that they wanted to write strong, dark, powerful pop songs. It was at this point that Steve saw the Angelfish video. Immediately, he contacted his music business sources and arranged a meeting between Garbage and Shirley Manson after an Angelfish concert at the Chicago Metro. First impressions were not good. Shirley was racing down the sidewalk with disabled singer Vic Chestnut, pushing him in his wheelchair when she stopped suddenly. Vic flew forward, out of his chair and onto the ground, letting out a horrible wail. This was the first time the Garbage Boys had set eyes on Shirley in the flesh, and she was mortified. Later, she'd realized that Vic, who remains good friends with the band, did that kind of thing all the time and had cried out deliberately in order to make her feel bad. Butch, Steve and Duke nevertheless took Shirley out for a meal, then all went out to a dance club together and got drunk till 5 a.m, after which they judged that she was kind of feisty and that they'd enjoyed hanging out together. They decided to ask her to audition for Garbage. Shirley herself had no doubts and nothing to lose. Unbeknownst to Butch and the others, Angelfish were already falling apart, and Shirley was the only one who actually had a record contract. Yet, perhaps because of this, she was extremely nervous when she first auditioned for Garbage, and her performance sucked. However, she called back the next day to apologize, admitting that she'd screwed up, and the band agreed to give her a second chance. This time, they sat down and talked, and began to figure out for the first time what Garbage was all about. From the moment Shirley joined, there were no doubts that they were going to be a pop band. There would still be experimentation and layers of noise, but there would also be well-structured songs and a widescreen commercial sound. Shirley brought out the dark, latent sexuality in the songs, but also made them more ambiguous, rewriting lyrics and melodies in order to make them more subtle and at the same time more powerful. Shirley was open about the fact that some of Butch's words she just could not sing, and their first few months together were mainly spent arguing about lyrics. But the boys soon saw that Shirley's more understated approach also made the words more intense and subversive. There was also no way that Shirley was going to be just another instrument for the three producers to use and manipulate at will. Garbage were a band now, made up of four equal parts and potentially more powerful than any one of them could realise.